This month at Charter Oak Church, we are talking about unity. And I think the timing on this is just such perfect, such God timing. Unity is so important because right now in our society, division is absolutely dividing us, destroying us, right? The definition, by definition, division tears apart. And I don't know if you're seeing that, but I'm certainly seeing it in our local communities, in our nation, in our world. We human beings are not naturally wired up to be unified. Just the opposite. We are wired up to be tribal, to divide, to join up into teams. So it's my team versus your team, my opinion versus your opinion. If unity were our natural inclination, the God of the universe would not have to ask us to be unified, but he does. We studied this last week, if you were with us. Towards the end of Jesus' life, he prayed for his church, for you and for I, to be united in him. Jesus prayed for us to be perfectly united in him. And if we are, not only would our lives be transformed, but our community around us will be transformed because they will see something different. What we see in our natural world is division. When we get on the 24-hour news cycles, what we hear are stories of division, nation divided, community divided. And so I think there are many, many people in our community that are looking for something different. They are looking for something wonderful and joyful. And that comes out of being united. Today, we are specifically talking about being united in truth. United in truth. Now let me give that a second to marinate. What you are probably thinking right now is, well, what is truth? What even is truth? I mean, we know the definition of the word, but we have no idea what it really means. I don't think in our culture, because I hear a lot about my truth or your truth. But can that really be? Can truth really be subjective? Can my truth be different than your truth? Is there anything that is objectively true? Some people would argue that there is nothing that is objectively outside of ourselves true, but man, that's not what I learned growing up. I went to Greensburg-Salem High School, and for chemistry class, I had Mr. Zolak. I don't know if you're from the area. I don't know if you know who Mr. Zolak was, but he was a terrific teacher, a very quirky teacher. But in his chemistry class, I learned that water is H2O. Now, I had heard that term before, but I had no idea what it meant. In Mr. Zolak's chemistry class, I learned that water is called H2O because the water molecule is made up of two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom. H2O. And so water is not H3O. Water is not H2O2. Water is not C3PO. Water is objectively H2O. That is a standard objective truth. I had Mr. Zolak's wife, Mrs. Zolak, for math class. I know from math class that 1 plus 1 equals 2. That is objectively true. Those truths are not different for me and for you. Those truths are the same for everybody. And so those are just two examples of the fact that objective truth exists. Things that are true for everyone. When truth differs from me to you, that is called subjective or relative. And I mean, really, if we're just talking language, right? That's not really truth, is it? If something differs from me to you, that's opinion, isn't it? And there's nothing necessarily wrong with opinion, but let's call these things what they are. Let's call truth truth and opinion opinion. objective, overarching, true for everyone truth exists. And maybe water being H2O isn't really pertinent for your life. Sorry, Mr. Zolok. But there is absolutely objective truth that can be and should be and hopefully is very pertinent for your life and for my life. And that is the truth that comes from God. Maybe you're coming to us today and you are a skeptic, and I'm so glad you are with us. Thank you for listening to this right now. If God exists, if all of this didn't happen by circumstance, if you and I are not accidents, if there is actually a creator, and if the Bible is an accurate representation of who that creator is, then what that creator communicates must be objective truth, right? The one who created, the one who invented the game should be making the rules for the game, right? That's what we're talking about when we talk about objective truth. And so let's talk about objective truth today. We're starting in the Bible, in John chapter 18. The Gospel of John, chapter 18. If you have your Bibles, feel free to turn there with me. In John chapter 18, Jesus has just been arrested. Jesus was arrested because the authority figures of that day didn't like Jesus. The authority figures of that day didn't like Jesus because Jesus challenged their truth. And so they arrested Jesus and they put him on trial. They brought Jesus before the Roman governor, whose name was Pontius Pilate. Now for the Romans, there was no other authority but Caesar. There was no other king but Caesar. You could believe in any god you wanted. And in fact, the Romans had many hundreds of gods. But no god was higher than Caesar. And no earthly king was higher than Caesar. And so with Jesus, they had a real problem. What Pontius Pilate was trying to get Jesus to say was for Jesus to say that he was a king. If Jesus would say that he was a king in front of a Roman governor, boom, that would be grounds for execution. And Jesus, in front of Pilate, was talking about his kingdom. Here's the scripture, John 18, verse 37. Pilate said, "You are a king then." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth." To the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Do you have your Bibles open? What is the very next thing that Pilate said? Pilate asked Jesus, when confronted with the truth, "What is truth?" Pilate asks a rhetorical question, not even necessarily to Jesus, but just to anybody who is listening. What is truth? And then he walks away. Now, this is a question that many people today ask. What even is truth? For Pilate, at least, the implication here is that he does not believe in objective, true for everyone truth. And that kind of stands to reason because Pilate didn't believe in the one true God. Pilate believed in Caesar. Whatever the leader of the Roman government said was true, was true. When this Caesar that he was currently serving under said something, that was true. When the next Caesar would come to power, what he said would be true. Now today, we believe in a whole lot of sources of truth. Don't we? I mean, we can look at somebody like Pilate saying, "What is truth?" and say, "Wow, how can you not believe that Jesus was the truth?" But I don't think we believe in the truth today either. A lot of us mistake opinion for truth. What my friend says is true. What my boyfriend or girlfriend says is true. What CNN or Fox News says is true. That weird website that I like to read. That's truth, right? But what you and I have to do is discern fact from opinion. That's our task as logical thinking human beings, given that logic by the God of the universe. Here's some logic for you. If what everyone says is truth, then we have 7 billion versions of truth on this earth today. 7 billion forms of truth. That's called relativism. That's called subjectivism. And when truth is relative or subjective, it tends to tear things apart. Governments, families, friends, churches. When in churches, we are not believing in the one true God and His truth, when it's my truth or your truth, that it tends to tear church families apart. And please remember something we said last week. Satan cannot defeat the church. He can absolutely divide the church. And so, church, let me ask you, what if there was one source of truth? Not what's popular, not what we feel like in the moment, not your opinion, not 7 billion opinions, but one source of objective, outside of ourselves, capital T, truth. If you have your Bibles open, please turn back a few chapters. You're on John chapter 18 right now. Turn back a few pages to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his arrest and death and resurrection. And Jesus tells his disciples that the whole point of him coming to earth was to show them the way to heaven. Now, we know what that means today, but the disciples, back when Jesus first said it, had no idea where heaven was, what heaven is, or where heaven was. And so Thomas says to Jesus a very cute question. We don't know, Lord, where heaven is. We don't know where heaven is, so how can we get there? And Jesus answers with this in verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So it turns out, friends, that Jesus is the truth, the literal truth. Physical embodiment of truth. The ironic thing was when Pontius Pilate was putting Jesus on trial, and when Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Truth was physically standing right in front of him. Truth isn't your opinion. It's not what you want to do. Truth is a person. Truth is Emmanuel, God among us. Truth is Jesus. And the best way to navigate this life, somebody needs to hear this today. The best way to navigate this life is by knowing what God says and doing what God says. That's the best way to navigate life. That is objective truth. And the only way to eternal life is by believing in Jesus. The only way to eternal life is by believing in Jesus. And a lot of people push back on this fact. Maybe you're new with us, and that doesn't sound nice. That doesn't sound inclusive. That doesn't sound fair. A lot of people today just say, and I've heard it so many times, man, there are so many religions and they're all great in their own way. And they all basically say the same thing. And they all really kind of point to the same creator, right? Jesus addressed that line of thinking 2,000 years ago. And Jesus tells us that that line of thinking leads to bondage. turn back a few more chapters to John chapter 8. Jesus is teaching at the temple. And Jesus says this, if you hold on to my teachings, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do you know what the term influencer means? Today it means something very, very specific. It designates somebody on social media that usually is trying to sell you something. It's attractive girls trying to sell natural face cream that comes from China, or dudes who are really good at video games who want you to subscribe to their Twitch channel. These are influencers today. But the concept of influencer has been around since the very beginning of time. An influencer is somebody who influences you. Very, very simply. And you have a lot of influencers in your life. In fact, you are who you are because of the influences in your life. Your grandmother, who taught you to always pinch pennies, has influenced your spending habits to this day. Your friends who like to party influence your social habits to this day. The person you want to marry is a huge Cleveland Browns fan, so now you've got to be a huge Cleveland Browns fan to marry into that family. Everyone who has influenced you has influenced you based on their opinion. You understand the logic here. You are who you are because of the influences in your life. The influences in your life have influenced you because of their opinion. Now, some opinions are really good and are based on truth. Some opinions are not really good. Some opinions are very, very destructive. And we, as logical human beings, get to decide what opinions are good, which opinions are bad, which opinions, most importantly, are based in truth. That's why Jesus says, listen to me. Let me be your influencer because I am truth. I am God's word. And if you follow me as your primary influence, you will live a free life. Oh, who are you influenced by? My goodness. Whose truth are you living in? Are you filtering your decisions through culture or opinion? Or are you filtering your decisions through the Word of God? I only ask this because over the last 18 months, people have lost their minds. We are scared. We are going through something as a world that nobody alive has ever been through before. We are frustrated. And when human beings are scared and when human beings are frustrated, we tend to do very silly things, like throw away the Word of God in favor of our own desires and our own opinion. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul knew that this was going to happen. He was apprenticing a young man named Timothy to be a missionary. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul gives Timothy a warning that is so relevant to us today. Please listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy 2,000 years ago, 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Have you ever been in danger of being tempted by exactly what Paul is saying here? This is universal fallen human nature. It is so human nature to surround ourselves with people who tell us what we want to hear. Hey, when somebody's life goes off the rails and we are doing destructive things and our friends are good enough and brave enough to confront us and call us out, what do? We get new friends. There's actually a very famous term for this in the corporate world. It's called yes men, right? You've heard this before. There are some really poor corporate executives who only surround themselves with subordinates who will tell them what they want to hear. They usually don't last very long, and their businesses don't last very long. It happens with faith. It happens with faith. You and I pick and choose verses. You and I pick and choose churches that affirm our human opinion, the lifestyle that we want to live, rather than allowing God's real word to influence us and to influence our opinion. Are we influencing God, or are we allowing God to influence us? That's the question. We human beings, we don't like to be confronted with truth when we want to do something different. And when we are confronted with truth, we get angry. We run away. We deny. We want to take the easy road. Here's what Paul instructed Timothy to do in this circumstance. 2 Timothy 4:5. But you, Timothy, you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Christians, do we live by this? Do we live by this? Do you know why we're having this conversation today? Because it is so hard to trust an objective truth. It is much easier to live life based on what I want to do and what culture is telling me to do. 2 Timothy 1:8, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, meaning do not be ashamed of the truth. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. 2 Timothy 2:3, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Somebody needs to internalize this today. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Continue, Timothy, in the truth. I don't know what your name is. Continue in the truth. Read scripture. Do what it says. Join up with a healthy church family. Learn from that church family. Be influenced by that church family. Objective truth is unpopular today. It's unpopular because it's difficult. And our culture of objectivism doesn't like difficult. But Christians, you and I are called to a different path. Living by God's word first and foremost. Living by God's word first and foremost. Filtering everything we do through it. And in God's word, you will find the example of the one we are called to live by. An example of radical love. Radical service. Radical giving. Radical sacrifice. Because Christians, we are constantly in danger of exactly what Paul warned Timothy about 2,000 years ago, following our own desires. listening to anybody who will tell us what we want to hear. Somebody needs to hear this today. Don't fall into that trap. Follow God. Read His Word. Know His Word and live God's Word out. If you and I, oh my gosh, are united in God's Word, not Pastor John's opinion, if you and I are united in God's Word, small groups, if you are united in God's Word, serving teams, if you are united in God's Word, if we all come together as the church, united in the truth of the Creator of the universe, not only will our lives be transformed, but our community's lives will be transformed. Let us strive to do everything we can to be united in nothing but the truth. Let us pray. Father God, we know that there are a million influences out there in our lives. So many of them are destructive. So many of them are evil, Lord God. That is why you call your word armor. Let us be equipped with your armor. Father God, help us to do anything we can to make time in our day to study your word. Help us to destroy the excuse of I don't have time to put on the armor of God. Because there are so many slings and arrows that the enemy throws at us all throughout the day. The slings and arrows of opinion. The slings and arrows of mistruth. Father God, there's only one way to know the truth, and that is to read it and to study it and to talk about it and to live it. So Father God, help us to do that with great, great love and enthusiasm and integrity. And it is in your precious Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.